The Navy have five core values which they speak of. They are honour, honesty, courage, integrity, and loyalty. These are five things that the Navy have tried to say, well, if we want to encapsulate what it means to be a member of the Royal Australian Navy, these are values that we're going to uphold. And if we think about what they are, well, honour is fundamental for each person, for the reputation that they carry. And for the Navy and for the people of the Australian Defence Force, we wear a uniform which we honour, and we seek to do the very best that we can. And honesty, well, it's always been about truthfulness. It's always about knowing and wanting to do right and then doing it truthfully. And courage is the strength of character to do what is right, to act in a way which demonstrates great courage. Integrity is to display of truth honestly, and also fairness shown to all. And loyalty. Well, loyalty is about being committed to each other. Loyalty is about doing our duty of service to each other and to Australia. You know, Australia is often being called the lucky country. And we have enormous natural wealth, people who are determined to finish the course and to fight battles that have been lost and won in some of the most hazardous of situations. And the Navy is supreme in this. The Army fares quite well as well, I must admit, for our guest speaker, Bob English. Of the battles lost and won, and also won in very hazardous situations, perhaps one of the most forgotten about at times, but is drawn back to people's attention, was, of course, the battle in Papua New Guinea on the Kokoda Trail. It was left to a group of war recruits from the 39th Battalion and a battle-hardened 21st Brigade who had to stop a 10,000-strong Japanese force that was a threat of real invasion of mainland Australia. And they marched through the Stanley Ranges to confront an advancing Japanese force, and both inflicted and received heavy casualties. They had little support, but they made a huge impact. And this is part of what it means to be Australia. Well, sometimes you mightn't do a great deal. We mightn't have a lot of support. But we're going to do something which is quite significant. And in our own lives, there have been battles that we have faced and we continue to face. And some have been easy to overcome. Others are more traumatic. And so we set up in our own minds rules of engagement, and we draw lines in the sand. We say, I'm not going to let it go past this point. Well, it's interesting. Scripture reveals that God acts in this same way as well. It makes sense because we are created by God. We bear the image of God. And Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19 is where, amongst other things, God draws a line in the sand. Or we could say God declares of what he values. And just those last few verses. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness that pours out lies, and a man that stirs up dissension among others. If we were going to consider them against a framework of the Navy values, well, haughty eyes, well, Kath and Kim, ever remember Kath and Kim? Look at me. Look at me, haughty eyes. There's no one else around the world apart from me. That's what haughty eyes means. Just look at me. You don't value. It's only me that values. That's what haughty eyes means. Haughty eyes is not a very good team player. There is no. It's just them and no one else. A lying tongue. Well, that's fairly distinct. That's just been not honest. It's been dishonest, isn't it? Hands that shed innocent blood. Well, that's just not being courageous at all. A heart that devises wicked schemes. Well, that's just dishonourable. A false witness that pours out lies. Well, this is dishonesty, isn't it? And a man that stirs up dissension among others. Again, that's just being disloyal. These are things that we hold as the Royal Australian Navy. We would agree with God. Because we would say, oh, we get what it means to value what this means. It's interesting, I have discussions from time to time from people who say, why do nations enter into a war? Why do nations engage in war with other nations? And more often than not, it is about ideals that are in conflict, about borders that have been breached, about resources that diplomacy has failed to negotiate. But what often underlies these reasons are, strangely, we're going to hear this Proverbs 6 come back again. Eyes that look for a quick fix. I want what you've got and I want it now. Or words and actions done with no integrity. And no integrity for the truth. Or innocence hunted down and slaughtered. Or plots to advance wicked agendas. Or evil that has been unchecked to fester. Or truth that has been removed and people who are intent in seeing dissension being unleashed. These are often reasons, the back reasons, as to why war breaks out between nation and nation. During World War II, one of the classic examples of seeing where a truth was just hidden was found in many of the camps throughout Germany. The horror of the concentration camps and the human genocide was beyond what anyone could ever picture. Even the local German folk who lived nearby those various camps could not comprehend that their government could have lied to them and kept hidden for many years the torture and the killing that went on there. They, just like the Allied forces, were appalled at the scenes. Allied forces filmed the horrors of Auschwitz and other camps, not to make a horror movie about it, but as a reminder of saying, this is what, when God detests these things and these things go unchecked, this is what humanity gets up to. And it should never be. And as a reminder to say, we don't want to go back here. This is not what we value. And that the world will never forget how evil can fester in a country's backyard. Are we appalled at those scenes? Indeed. God is also. The Lord hates sin. And the word hate is not used very often in Scripture. But when it is, it's used because of the measure that it's for. And so the Lord hates sin and the actions that indeed do lead to sin. So in Proverbs, God hates those things that lead to sinful action and very corrupt behaviour. But if God just hated sin and if that was the end of it, well then, that wouldn't be very exciting. We'd all be left, well, what do we do with this? But God also provides a solution, one that cost him a great deal. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, entered into world history by being born of a virgin, living a sinless life, and then died to take our place for, strangely, our sin. And those that put their trust in Christ, his life and death and resurrection, this is the point that I go, really? They have their guilt of their sins cancelled. Christ became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. There's a phrase that is often used on Anzac Day. Greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his friends. And it comes from John chapter 15, where Christ was speaking with his disciples about what he was about to do to lay down his life for his friends. You see, God demonstrated the way that what it means to treat each other. It's often the case, though, that wars are blamed on God. But it's more likely that we do not want to own our own grievances or perhaps our own prejudices, so we blame someone else to cover up our shortcomings. But it's God who says, I will die for my friends. I will die and give my life for someone. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 and 8 summarizes this beautifully. He says, Paul writes this, for while we were still weak, at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps a good person, one might even dare to die. But God shows his love for us, then that while we were still yet sinners, that we were enemies of God, not friends, we were enemies of God, God died for us. What an amazing picture that is, that God would actually say, well, I know you guys have sinned, I know you guys have done things that I hate, but I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to do something amazing. You see, God doesn't treat us as we deserve, but as we need. For being away from God and rebelling to him, we deserve the harshest of treatments. But God treats us as we need, by taking our place in the harshest of judgments, so that we can be set free. And God has the greatest of mercy for us, and that is how he treats us. With the kids, what does God love? He loves people. He loves people so much that he sent his son to die for us. What amazing scripture. However, we haven't treated God very well. The gospel reading of Matthew reminds us of how we often treat God. When asked how people treated God, they were assessed on how they treated people. For some, the news was not good. Listen to see how they did things. This is from Matthew's reading. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will all answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do for the least of these, you did not do it to me. However, there was another group which had far better news. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. And he will place the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. And I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick and in prison and visit you? We can't remember those times. And the king will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did it to the one of the least of these, you did it to me. God values people. He loves people intently. He loves people compassionately. So let's summarize some things that we've thought about today. What is God against? Well, seven things. Haughty eyes, that's look at me, no one else, look at me. A lying tongue, well, that's pretty self-explanatory. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked schemes. Feet that are quick to rush into evil. A false witness that pours out lies. And a man that stirs up dissension among others. That's some things that God hates. And as the Royal Australian Navy, we would hate them as well. Because our values speak of the opposite. Our values speak of honour, honesty, integrity, courage and loyalty. But what has God done about this? Well, Romans 5 was this, while we were still weak and at that right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person. Though perhaps for a good person, one might dare to even die. But God shows his love for us, that while we're still yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loves people. He values people. He always has. So how then shall I live? In response to God's love is to place my trust in Christ, who came at just the right time. Not because he felt he needed to, but because he loves this world. He values people. So then do to others as you would have them do to you. So if I were thirsty, you want someone to come and give you a drink. If I was hungry, I'd want someone to come and give me some food. If I was lost in a city, I'd want someone to welcome me. If I was naked, I'd want someone to give me clothes. If I was sick, I'd want someone to come and visit me. If I was in prison, I'd want someone to come and help me. You did it to the least of these, and you did it to me. So who is your trust placed in? And how shall we treat others?